call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 723-8497 is not available. At the tone, please record your message.
Hello, this is Dr. Nolan from the OP lab. I'm trying to reach Lieutenant James Cash. This is in regards to Project Plymouth. I'm afraid I have some bad news. It's probably best if we talk as soon as possible, so please give me a call back. The number here is 555-5655. Thank you.
Dear sister, I wonder if the stars have abandoned me. Reverend Moreau's indifference to my revelation left me hollow. At first, I'd held out some hope he had been too distracted with other colony matters, and perhaps had misunderstood what I'd told him about Whitlock. Maybe he would devote more time to my troubles when things became settled. But recent events have made things worse. Governor Caldwell has died, and Whitlock has replaced him. The Reverend has not only allowed this, but assisted him. I was so upset when I heard. I pleaded with the Reverend again. I know he could see how angry I was, but he wouldn't listen. Instead, he gave me a harsh rebuke. For the rest of the day, I was so upset. Everyone could see it. The others must have told him, because he came and found me during early meal. He wanted to speak with me. Alone. I expected the worst. I thought he would chastise me for my attitude. Another command for silence and acceptance. But instead, he gave me a pistol. It was a small thing, but it felt good in my palm. Right. He looked sad. He said if I wanted vengeance, he would not bloody the hands of his church. If I desired someone's life to be extinguished, then I would have to do it myself. I should not ask fate to grant it for me. He said it was clear I couldn't find solace in the plan of the stars. It broke my heart. I know the Reverend is disappointed in me. In my lack of faith. He wishes I was stronger, but what can I do? I have the pistol with me now. It's in my chest beneath my bed. It's coiled and waiting to strike, if I let it. I thought my faith was strong, but I see its limits. How can there be peace without justice? I want to commit, fully commit, to the Reverend and to his teachings. But how can I do so while our enemy prowls about unchallenged? I can't allow it. I won't. After all, wasn't it the Reverend who gave me the pistol? Is it truly my choice? Or perhaps this is fate? How does the Reverend know this isn't the Star's plan, after all? I will do everything that is asked of me. I will follow the Star's path. I will commit fully to the teachings of my church. But first, I will take the sword that's been given to me, and I will use it to slay my enemy. Charles Whitlock will die today.
Hey, kid. I thought we were going back home. That had been the original plan, after all. go to Ashboro, search for Annabelle, and come back. But today, I found out Cash has other ideas. He's taking us further north, further away from the Nock. It didn't dawn on me until midday. It was stupid of me not to notice before. We're following the creek, like we had planned, but going upstream, away from the ocean. When I pointed this out, Cash told me he was altering the return course. He said he'd spotted boot tracks leading this direction and suspected Lauren might have wandered further up the valley. He hadn't mentioned this before, but the rest of the team doesn't seem concerned. Did they know we were going the wrong way? It doesn't feel right. I pressed for more information. How far back were the tracks? How far up north would we go? Did we have the supplies to manage it? All I got in response was a scowl and gruff orders to fall in. Something isn't right.
Mr. Park, with Caldwell finally out of the way, we can fully focus our efforts on the matters which had originally brought me here. Making money. And we should start with this peculiar drug, this Baru. If it's as powerful as Moreau's claimed, the possibilities are most compelling. But the situation is delicate. The Children of the Stars consider it to be a sacred plant. They guard its cultivation and dispersal with utmost care. I can only imagine Moreau's displeasure if he knew we were planning to profit from it. We'll need to operate carefully. Although I've worked hard to gain his trust, he's outright refused to let me examine the plant. It's strictly for their ceremonies, he says, their rituals. So I've gone around him. It's taken me several days, but I was able to arrange a delivery of a sample for a small bribe. It seems some of his newer converts are not quite as dogmatic. I'll tell you this. There's nothing superficially striking about the plant. It's rather plain, in fact. It doesn't even look alien. You could pass by it in a park back home and not even notice. I didn't try to take any myself. I'll leave hallucinations to the poor souls among us who can only imagine a better life. I will be uploading a digital scan of the biological structure, and will send this through via the comlink. Please, discreetly, send to our pharmaceutical partners outside of Oasis, as well as some of our... how shall I say it? More clandestine contacts in other markets. It'll be good to understand how Baru rates compared to Earth psychedelics or opiates. I know all of this will take some time, considering the transmission delays. This is unfortunate, but unavoidable. We're playing the long game here. In the meantime, I will charge ahead with the original mandates from the board. Progress in mining will keep them distracted and away from our business with the Baru. I'm working to arrange a brief outbound excursion for this exact purpose. While larger surveying equipment is still out of order, the handheld scanner should provide some useful data. The entire trip will be a few days out of Delta Point. I'll oversee it myself. I refuse to be caged within these terrible walls any longer. Things are moving ahead, Mr. Park.
I think I can hear you.
If I close my eyes.
I can hear your voice. I thought it was the wind in the trees, but now I can hear you. Your whispers. How did I miss it before? You've always been here, guiding me, telling me what to do. I wonder if you can hear me. Would you even remember my voice? You would, wouldn't you? That's why you came to see me. If I'd only known you were in the trees all this time. But it doesn't matter. It makes no difference where you've been. You've come back now. For me. I did what you asked. I'm alone now. I wish you'd come back and talk to me again. Please tell me where we're going. Where are you leading me? Why? It's so dark out here. It's cold, too. I wish you'd come back and talk to me. My head is so foggy, I can't remember. Some things so clear and others... I don't know how long I've been here. I keep thinking about years ago. I can remember all of that. Small details. Like my grandmother's face. How young she still looked the last time I saw her. Or our first year in Oxford. Do you remember our flat on Bennett? That was the last time you left me to fend for myself. When I met your parents. And you weren't there. God, I was so mad at you then. What was it? An advisory board meeting? No, it was a calibration test. It didn't matter. It felt like you'd abandoned me. I sat there making small talk with Jesus from Oklahoma. I don't know who was more uncomfortable. I think they wanted to leave as much as I did. And then your mother, your dear, dear mother says to me, she asked me if I know Amy's boyfriend. As if things couldn't get worse. They didn't even... Hello? Amy? Amy, is that you?
Log Alpha Hotel 1 Charlie. This is Captain Beckett. It's been 22 hours, enough for a full cycle of the day here, and there has been no sign of a response or any incoming transmissions from New Oasis. I can only hope someone has heard the beacon and is on the way. I had a little bit of a scare last night, and it's put me on edge. Something not human tried to get inside the ship. It happened after nightfall. I secured the hatches, of course, and had gone to the rack for a little shut-eye, and I was almost asleep when something started banging on the hull. And at first I thought it was rescue, colonists from New Oasis, here to save me, here to save us all. But, and this is hard to describe, the intent behind the knocking didn't sound like people. It didn't sound like humans coming to announce their presence. It wasn't like knocking at all. It was aggressive. And soon there was more. And by the time I'd gotten out of the rack, I heard more pounding of forward. And then overhead. And then below. It sounded like hundreds of fists beating on the hull at once. And I hurried to the cockpit, but I couldn't see anything out the viewports. There's no people, no animals, no rain or weather of any kind. Needless to say, I wasn't about to open the hatches to get a better look. The banging continued for almost... I'd say about a full minute, and then suddenly, as if I dreamed the whole thing, it stopped. All at once. I did not sleep well for the rest of the night, as one would probably assume. Whatever it was, didn't come back. This morning, after sunup, I worked up enough courage to go outside and inspect the exterior. And there wasn't any damage, but in several spots in the hull, I could make out patches of red. And I'm probably imagining it, but they almost looked like palm prints and finger marks. Power is starting to die. Based on the most conservative estimates, I only have another day at most. If I can't restart the resuscitation cycle before then, the crew in hibernation will die. Rescue needs to get here soon. Before supplies run out, before power dies, whatever thing that was here last night comes back for another visit.
Hey guys. This is Tycast. Since my last episode, everything has gone off the rails. There have been some big changes here at the Nock. I feel bad that it's taken this long to record, but it's become more important than ever that I remain discreet. You'll soon understand why. Where to begin? Well, for starters, the governor is dead. Something attacked our colony 2 nights ago. I didn't see it myself, and there were no alarms. But we all heard the gunshots. Whatever it was, it killed Governor Caldwell, and several of the others. I saw the bodies. They were all badly mauled. Some of them were barely recognizable, but I knew one of them was Caldwell. It had to be. The governor's German shepherd, Apollo, I think his name is, wouldn't leave his master's side. Not until we buried him. I asked around afterward, but no one seems to have actually witnessed what happened, or they won't tell me. I kept pressing for some kind of description, but no one can say what the monster looked like. It didn't matter. Moreau was quick to seize the opportunity. He's telling everyone the creature was a manifestation of judgment. Like Annabelle, these victims had been chosen to pay the price, because they were non-believers. The only way for the rest of us to protect ourselves was to fully devote to his teaching. He didn't offer any evidence of this, of course. It sounds like bullshit, but everyone believes it. People are afraid. You can feel it now. It's palpable. One of the investors was nominated to replace him as governor. A slimy, unlikable guy named Whitlock. He's wasted no time enacting new orders. Despite the alleged attack, he's rolled back the curfew and staffed a mining expedition. In fact, he left this afternoon with a whole crew. Which brings me to what happened a few hours ago. Before they left, this time, I witnessed the whole thing. We were walking back from the burials when we passed Whitlock. He was headed in the opposite direction, accompanied by an entire crew. From their loadout, it looked like they were planning to be gone for an entire month. They were almost to the gate when I heard someone shout his name. It wasn't one of his crew. It was Marie Tanner. She came storming out of the barracks. She nearly knocked me over as she headed towards Whitlock. And he turned to face her. You could see he was confused. She walked right up to him. She was still speaking loud enough that we could all hear, but her voice was so choked it was difficult to understand. She said something about her sister. And that's when she pulled a gun. Security was already on their way. But Marie didn't look like she cared. She leveled the barrel right at Whitlock, right at his face, and pulled the trigger. But it didn't fire. She pulled the trigger again, but still nothing. She didn't have a third chance.